Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back. You heard it right. No need to tell you what's going on. Another Rookie Fever Player Profile. You saw his name in the show title. I'm here today with Matt Hicks at the FF underscore educator on Twitter. The Draft Bible, you do some production. The Rookie Big Board, that's what I kind of know you from at this point, too. I see your videos on YouTube all the time. I'm usually watching between yours that you do with John Lobb, or just you yourself, or Brandon Lejeune. Those are usually my go-to videos, to be completely honest with you, and just kind of trying to get up on some of the college guys. I recommend people go to those spots to watch them as well. Recently, for the Patreons, is it for the Patreons only that they get the rookie guide?
Yeah, that's where you get the rookie guide.
Tell them a little bit about that and anything else, if I missed anything that you want to mention before we get into this player profile.
Man, you nailed it. I appreciate you having me on. It's always fun to chop it up with you. Yeah, right now, man, just dropped the 2022 rookie guide, 130 pages, 90 player profiles, you know, some really great value to Dynasty, value to Devy comparisons for this draft class. And Volume 1, Volume 2.0 drops the Sunday after the NFL draft ends. Of course, updated with all of those landing spots for all of us fiends who will be drafting that Monday after the NFL draft. So, yeah, on top of that, man, you nailed it. Rookie Big Board on YouTube, Rookie Big Board on your podcast channel of choice. We got individual player profiles, man, like breaking it down 6-7 minutes at a time. You know, a similar format, but kind of a little bit different of an approach as these. So it's a really good mix and match. So, but again, I appreciate you having me on here. I'm excited that you let me talk about this player in particular.
Absolutely. And I mean, you do a lot of the diving yourself, which is kind of why you're here, because that is, like you mentioned, a little bit different. But one different part is we have you guys on to come and talk about us and start educating us here on the show with the listeners sometimes. So that's what's awesome about this. So yeah, you pick Christian Watson, out of North Dakota. Listeners are dying to know why you picked Christian Watson.
Yeah, I love this Christian Watson selection for a couple reasons. Because I feel like Christian Watson is one of these guys that the community right now is really struggling with his value. And I say that for a couple different reasons, right? So I remember when I first watched Christian Watson tape, it was a later tape review for me. You know, I get most of my guys done October, November, December. But this FCS guy kind of pops up on my radar in early January. I'm hearing some buzz from people I trust. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll flip on, you know, the Christian Watson tape. And I'm watching him, man, bounce around the field, super athletic, working well along the boundary. He's quick. And I didn't look up his measurables ahead of time. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, he feels a little gadgety. You know, he plays well along the boundary, though. You know, so I go and I look up his measurables. You know, I'm thinking in my head he's like 5'10", 190 because of how quickly he's moving around the field. I go, I look him up, man. He's 6'3", 210. I mean, and then this guy, you know, his measurables, I think, actually listed him at like 6'4", 220. But I think he ended up being 6'3", 210.
I'm with you, because before I do these interviews at some time within the week, I'm going to watch some film, too. And I don't just mean highlights. I'm going to find somewhere to watch some film, too. And I thought the same thing when I looked and saw how big he was. I was just like, oh, wow, I'm surprised, like, this is a big man.
Yeah. And so immediately I'm like, oh, this guy's my sleeper, right? Like I've kind of got him tucked away in my pocket. I've been hyping him up in small batches. And this is before, you know, folks kind of really catch on to him. And then, you know, he ends up going to the Senior Bowl and he just blows it out of the park. You know, I'm watching the Senior Bowl film and from practice, and he's the best guy out there, in my opinion. Just absolute, you know, mossing these defensive backs. He's playing really well along the boundaries, getting off the line of scrimmage well. And that's really important for a guy from North Dakota State, right? Coming out of FCS play, an event like the Senior Bowl is where you say, you know, it doesn't matter who I played against in college. I can line up against these NFL, future NFL defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
And then his momentum built. And then his pro days combined, he absolutely smashed the athletic testing. I mean, he's testing in the 94th percentile in, or I should say, you know, 97th in 10-yard split, 91st in 40-yard dash, 84th in vertical, 98th percentile in broad jump. But, you know, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about his value because he went from somebody who I thought was going to be a great value to now I'm almost wondering if we're overinflating his value because now folks are mocking him in the first round of NFL drafts. He was a day three guy a month ago. And obviously this value changes and the NFL's got a different view than us mock drafting. But now he's, you know, I'm seeing him go off the board in some one quarterback mock drafts, like right at that first, second round turn. Mm-hmm. And so, I wanted to talk about him because I'm somewhere in between. It's hurting my heart a little bit that I got to, walk back my sleeper favorite a little bit because he's not a sleeper anymore.
Yeah, some of those mocks are interesting too. Finero and I were talking about that. Some of those mocks, you almost need to find the NFL-minded mock versus the fantasy expectation mock because some of us, I think, we get a little bit too fantasy-friendly with that first round sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you're looking at mocks, that's one thing you want to be careful of is – You want to see a good slew of defensive players in there and other positions. If there's not, it's probably somebody that cares too much about our fantasy teams, completely honestly. But
and I think one thing, you know, folks don't take into account from the NFL side of things is, you know, it's a really deep class, right? And so a team in the back end of the first round, which is kind of where you've seen Christian Watson, you know, going to the Chiefs, going to the Packers, you know, all of those. They're looking at the depth of this class and saying, you know, even if they really like Christian Watson, do they have to take him in the back end of the first? Or, you know, can they take Alec Pierce at the back end of the second? And for an NFL team, you know, if you're deciding between an offensive lineman or another critical need on your roster, right? I mean, you're probably going to wait on wide receiver in a deep class because we've seen, you know, superstar wide receivers come out of the day two, come out of day three.
Yeah. I'm curious now because you're a huge Devy guy. Like, I think of you as a Devy guy. So if you have him on your Devy team and he goes to one of those quote-unquote dream landing spots, the Packers or the Chiefs, are you selling right now? Because you know that there's going to be a buzz.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting. And it's always fun because Christian Watson is an FCS guy. He's probably not on your Devy roster, right? Because most leagues don't allow you to actually, you know, take the FCS guys. But, you know, so if you have the 101 or if you do have Christian Watson on your team, if he goes in the first round, there's almost no way he matches expectations, right? And again, I say this like it's breaking my heart because I'm not trying to talk down about him, but he's a very talented player. He's raw. There's a lot of upside to Christian Watson, right? And so I would, of course, look for scheme fit, look to see if I could really project that. But one of the things I try to remember playing dynasty fantasy football, right? Folks want production right away. And when you have a raw prospect, if they can capture draft capital and you feel like, you know, that, you know, you can capitalize on that value before it dips because maybe we have to wait, you know, 6 or 8 weeks.
It almost always dips.
Yeah, we're not willing to do that because we're impatient. But, you know, if you could flip, you know, Christian Watson to get somebody who I would consider a tier one level wide receiver value in this class, Olave, Burks, Wilson, or London, I would, you know, even Jameson Williams, you know, that's the flip that I would do. Absolutely. You know, even if you could flip Christian Watson for a 2023 first and maybe a third rounder in 2022, like he absolutely would be looking to flip. And I love the guy, but you know, you gotta be logical about it.
So what kind of draft capital do you really think will go into him? And you mentioned that scheme fit. What kind of team do you think will best meet that scheme to maybe make us a little bit happy year one?
Yeah, so
and I say a little bit, like, you know what I mean? Because I don't think people quite understand sometimes, like, your expectations and some of the benchmarks you want to see for our rookie wide receivers aren't like what we saw from Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, Waddle or Amon-Ra St. Brown, like those top four rookie wide receivers, like those aren't those are good seasons. they're over and above all expectations of rookie benchmarks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I have a little bit of a unique view of draft capital maybe than some other folks, and it's something that I think is really important, so I love talking about it. The way that I do my draft capital buckets is I do top 10 picks, so 1 through 10. 10 through 20 is a different value assessed. And then I have a huge, larger gaps than I think most folks from there. So picks 20 to 50 for me are one bucket of NFL draft capital, because in most years in an NFL draft, the NFL doesn't think that there is 32 first round level players, right? There's always a drop off point. It's actually usually in the teens, 16, 17, but I do 20 just to be a little bit safer with it. So picks, whether you're pick 20 overall, a day one selection, or pick 50, for me, that's the same NFL draft capital. And then my next bucket is picks 50 to 102, which is most of day two, right? Other mm-hmm. than the first 10 or so picks. And there's a couple factors. You know, people always trade up at the top of day two to try to get the guys that they want. So right now I have Christian Watson in that 50 to 102 bucket. And that puts him right now as my wide receiver 10. And again, I like him a ton. If he ends up going in that 20 to 50 bucket, that's going to give him a nice boost. And he may end up leapfrogging some of the players ahead of him right now, you know, depending on that draft capital and also scheme fit. So, you know, feeding into that question, I'm looking at Christian Watson as a guy who's going to work well along the boundary, right? And so you want to be able to pair him up with a quarterback that's comfortable throwing outside of the targets, or outside of the numbers, I should say. So that tends to be a veteran quarterback. That's an area that young quarterbacks tend to struggle with. You want somebody with a big arm that could really stretch the field, because Christian Watson, I don't see as somebody who's necessarily going to consistently get, you know, 100 plus targets a season. I think for fantasy purposes, we're going to want to see him in the end zone 7 or 8 times with, you know, 80 to 85 targets, especially early in his career, right? If he's going to make a quicker impact. So, you know, if you're looking at maybe a recent player to compare him to in terms of play style, it's not a one-to-one comp by any means, but, you know, kind of think of the way that we get from Michael Pittman. That's a similar type mold, a guy you want to place along the boundary, and you want to be able to pair him up with a quarterback, hopefully, that can push the field a little bit. So I'm excited about Michael Pittman with Matt Ryan, as you can imagine. But here's the thing, too. We're talking about draft capital. If he ends up going at the top of the second round, we got Jacksonville, we got Detroit, the Jets, the Giants, Houston, Chicago, Seattle. Have you heard a good one yet? Like, these are tough spots.
Yeah, not really that you're going to love for your wide receivers.
Right.
So and for that skill set either, you know.
Right, right. So you almost might be more comfortable if he slides a little bit. You know, 50 to Kansas City, 53 to the Green Bay Packers. I know the Packers are an easy one, right, to say mm-hmm. that's going to be a good spot. But, you know, you almost might be willing to let Christian Watson slide a little bit, because it's a fine balance. Draft capital is very important. I take it into account. But I got to be able to project volume with confidence, right, and mm-hmm. especially early on what we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that'll be a lot of it, too, is seeing where he ends up going in the draft. I mean, his ceiling that we mentioned, obviously very landing spot dependent. What do you think his floor is?
Listen, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, he is raw. So his floor is low. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, I loved him. Oh, I loved him when he was a third round value. I still like him. And I will still draft him as a mid to late second round value. My problem is, once you start pushing him in terms of value into that, you know, early first, or I should say early second, late first, then you're making those decisions, in my opinion, between, you know, Christian Watson or Jameson Williams, Christian Watson or George Pickens. And that, to me, is setting yourself up. I don't want to say setting yourself up for failure, but you have to understand your risk tolerance. And with my early picks, you know, if I'm drafting with the 101 and the 201, I'm probably, you know, needing some injection of talent on my roster, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, part of it is understanding your own personal risk tolerance when it comes to drafting. But, you know, it seems like a safer thing for the person that's repeating as a champion to be able to take a shot at 212 as opposed to banking on them at 202.
Yeah. and you don't want to get too like caught up in the size, and because I'm a size guy myself, yeah. like I like some of those old school big guys, but you don't really need that in the NFL anymore. Like just with the way the game has changed, rules have changed. But yeah, not. I mean, look at Nico Collins and who I still like these guys, Terrace Marshall, who you can get very cheap. It doesn't mean that they're going to be successful in the NFL right away or at all.
Yeah.
And I know I got caught up in that with both of those players last year.
Yeah. And I feel like we want to rush wide receivers now. I think we've gotten a little spoiled the last couple of years, right? Seeing Justin Jefferson hit, seeing Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, you know, even CeeDee Lamb to a degree, you know,
DK hit Metcalf his rookie season.
Yeah. DK Metcalf, you know, it used to be that we drafted wide receivers and knew that it was an investment, right? We were looking for that year two hit. We thought that was great, but we've kind of gotten spoiled to this degree. And you know what? Maybe this year's class won't help because I think Olave could come in and make a quick impact. Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, Drake London. But you also have to recognize that those are your early first round selections, right? When you're going into the second round, you got to be a little patient, right? We gotta hope to hit. And you know, one of the other things that I like to think about and take into consideration is, you know, what does hitting mean for you? And I know folks have hit rates and certain markers and guys that they only want at a certain level. But if you're degenerate like us two, and you're playing in dynasty leagues where you might have to start 10 guys a week, your roster might be 35 people deep. Having somebody that can slide in as your wide receiver three, if you're drafting in the back end of the second round, that's a hit, in my opinion, right? That's a return on value. So understanding your league and what you need out of your roster is really important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you feel like the community consensus is on Christian Watson right now coming into the rookie season?
Yeah, it's high. It's high. And I think it's only going to get higher, especially, man, if he slides into the back end of that first round, it's going to be sky high. And so, you know, I think I would have to lean on overvalued right now, but you know, it almost might be a situation where I kind of hope he doesn't get a sexy landing spot. You know, maybe he ends up in Detroit, which doesn't sound great right now. But think about Detroit in a year. If they end up, you know, taking a top quarterback in the 2023 class and you got, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown working the underneath, Hockenson, you know, taking up targets and freeing up the field a little bit. And so maybe in a year all of a sudden, but in the meantime, it would probably be a little bit of a slide, and I'll take a year of development with Christian Watson. So, yeah,
but still there, it depends on where he falls to.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I love everything you said, but I'd still rather have like Drake London.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, and
put him back with Amon-Ra St. Brown and see how that works out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I have Christian Watson right now pegged out. And so I kind of break out my projections. Well, they have a score, but I also like to focus on tiers, right? And so Christian Watson, for me, I think is going to hit in the range that I call flex filler, which is for a wide receiver, we're talking back end of the wide receiver two conversation, you know, mid of the wide receiver three conversation. So let's say wide receiver 30 to 40. I think that's where you need to value, you know, Christian Watson. But you're absolutely right. Drake London, I had projected out as a weekly starter. Like, he should be your wide receiver too. So you shouldn't be, in my opinion, I wouldn't be comparing those guys as one-to-ones, right? Like, Drake London should be your first-round selection. Christian Watson should be your second-round selection. But again, you're right, because I think folks are starting to lump them into that same tier. And even as somebody who loves Christian Watson, I'm like, whoa, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, and that's important here too, and something we do like to mention, because I think the listeners can probably hear the excitement in your voice when we talk about him. But Matt is by no means saying, like he just alluded to, he is not his rookie first round wide receiver. So where would you have him in your ranks today?
In my wide receiver ranks, he's sitting at 10, wide receiver 10. And in my overall rankings, he's in a super flex, he's 22 overall right now. So and you know, probably in a range where, depending on the factors we've talked about, I think the highest I could see him rearranging to is about 15, 16 overall in a super flex. So, you know, I'm saying like mid second feels like the cap to me in terms of his value. And that's if things go well, right? So that's generally where I'm viewing him right now.
Outside of him being raw, which is obviously a concern, especially for somebody that was at the Senior Bowl. What are some concerns you have?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Christian Watson here, the kind of the areas that I have him knocked on is route running. You know, ran a pretty simple tree. I do think he separated well downfield, but if you in FCS tape, if you look at his Senior Bowl practice tape, he was really relying on that contested catch ability, which again, you can overcome, but that tends to be a little bit of a yellow flag for me. You have to be very good at body positioning. You have to be very physical with your hand work. And he was doing those things, but you know, it's always different when you're playing week in and week out against top level NFL defensive backs, right? He has lower yards after catch potential for me. I think he's really going to do most of his work before the catch. And so those are the two categories that I have knocked the lowest on. However, I say that, and this is one of the reasons he grades out for me, yards after catch and route running are two categories that I weigh lower than some of the other ones where okay. He is really good at. You know, I care about athleticism. I care about hand work significantly, and he grades out well in those areas. You know, that's just some of the areas that I'm grading him out in. So my concerns are balanced out, and they tend to be things I weigh a little bit less. But that being said, again, talking about his frame in general, these X-type big body guys, it's harder for us to, with confidence, early, without a good sample size, project high volume. And high volume, at the end of the day, is king. I know folks hate to talk about it, but it's king. It's king for fantasy football because we volume leads to opportunity, and we chase that volume, whether we admit it or not. So, you know, he's going to need to be in the end zone if he's not seeing that high target volume.
I love it. You crushed Christian Watson out of the park. We need to know, though, who is your guy in the 2022 rookie draft? Who are you trying so hard to get in all of your drafts, trading for now if you have to?
Oh, my gosh. Just one. I will tell you, maybe this is a little bit of a unique person. I'm going to latch on to that last part that you just mentioned. Who am I trading for now? I'm in a lot of Devy leagues, a lot of Campus to Canton leagues. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're talking a lot in the Patreon Discord. And one of the things, like this week specifically, that I've been putting out trade offers for is Sam Howell, is Matt Corral in Superflex leagues, because I feel like folks have abandoned them. And I think post-draft, they're going to get a little bit of a bump in value, right? Folks are going to be able to perceive them. They're going to get a little bit of NFL validation. We'll see with Sam Howell. Maybe he slides to day two. But I think when folks see where Matt Corral comes off the board in the NFL draft, that they're going to feel more validated in their appreciation for him. So I've been trying to buy cheap on some of these guys. And maybe I shouldn't be admitting this out loud because I'm sure some of the league mates are listening to this. But I will say, you know, I'm trying to take advantage of that notion that the quarterback class is weak this year. Listen, you every year when you draft a quarterback, whether it's Trevor Lawrence or Josh Allen, you're taking risk, right? And So I'm willing to take some educated risk there on the quarterback position in particular, trying to hit on some of that, perceived higher risk type rookies. So that's what I'm saying. And if you don't play Devy or Campus to Canton and you're, you know, purely dynasty, maybe buy up those back end of the first round picks in Superflex leagues. Cause that's, I would say, kind of where I'm seeing a Sam Howell type quarterback go off the board. And at 110, 111, man, I mean, just soak up that value. I like it a ton there.
I love it. Matt, best way to get a hold of you and become a patron, and why would I want to become a patron?
Let's get some guys into
your Patreon over here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Listen, man, we got a whole lot going on over there at patreon.com/theffeducator. We got the 2022 rookie guide right now. I mentioned it earlier, over 130 pages chock full of information. Honestly, the whole thing is worth it just for the Discord. We got over 100 folks in that Discord chopping it up, talking Devy, Dynasty, rookie talk, all that good stuff. Sneaking this guest spot in between a couple rookie consolations. So I do like one-on-one calls to talk through rosters and draft strategy my patrons. But the number one thing, man, the rookie big board. And that's what I've been reading off of all of this, my rankings, the notes that I've been reading off of for Christian Watson. It's all available, you know, I literally rank every player, but I ended up with, I think, 90 finished tape evaluations on this year's class. Comes with Devy rankings, comes with Dynasty rankings. You can get in at just $6 a month, just $3 a month. There's a tier for just $1 a month. So Again, patreon.com/theffeducator. I appreciate you letting me talk about it a little bit.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you. This was a lot of fun. At the @FF_educator on Twitter. I am at @SwagZilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever, another Rookie Fever player profile. And we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, let's just break out a full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soup. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.